Okay. Great. So my name is Ben Riga. I'm a platform evangelist in the developer and platform evangelism team here at Microsoft. This week we're in Building 20. We're talking to a bunch of folks from the CRM team that have been working on some cool stuff in Dynamics CRM Titan, the next release that's coming pretty soon. We just did a session with Phil Richardson and Charles Torrey that was great, and I was kind of at the back of the room itching to get on because there's all sorts of really cool stuff that developers really need to know about CRM. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is something that Praveen's been working on. Praveen Ubadie is the program manager. Did I get that right?
That's
Did I get
right.
your name right, first of all?
Well, yes, you did.
Okay, and so you're the program manager for CRM on the workflow side. So tell me a little bit about what you do with workflow and what your role is at Microsoft, and we can go
sure.
from there.
Well, I'm a program manager in CRM development team, and I own Workflow Investments. And for the last 2 years, I've been working on basically workflow, making it better for our users. And I would say there's a lot to be happy about when it comes to CRM Titan workflow capabilities. Just to give you a very high-level idea about core investment themes that we have had in this release, I would say that we are making it far more easier for our end users so that if you are a salesperson or you're a sales manager and you want to write a very simple notification rule which says on very high value opportunities you should get an alert through email, you should be able to do that on your own instead of trying to get it done through a partner or a system administrator. So that is all about making sure that the workflows are surfaced on the web UI,
right.
They're easy to use and things like that.
So clearly CRM, from a CRM perspective, from an application perspective, there's some really cool stuff there and workflow is gonna help there. My interest, and I guess a lot of the people in Channel 9, is all about the platform.
And sure.
So can we talk a little bit about some of that? I guess
yeah.
there's a lot of cool stuff.
So that's where the last two buckets actually line up.
Right.
So the second bucket is all about making a very rich business logic construction possible in workflows, CRM workflows. So as you have seen through Philip's sort of talk, where you can create custom entities, you can create custom attributes, you can relate them in interesting ways using our relationship features. What workflow allows you to do is that it allows you to leverage the relationship framework and the entity framework that you just created using the customization model and tie it back in with the eventing model so that you can say if some entity, some record is created, I want you to do a few pre-computed things using very rich business logic which can be expressed in terms of Dynamic expressions. A very good example of that would be if you had a custom entity and you wanted to say when this entity gets created, I want to notify 5 different people and I want to use information which is contained inside that entity record to be pasted inside the emails.
Mm-hmm.
So all that would be possible in workflows. Or if you wanted to create processes which have multiple stages, you say that, well, stage one, I want to accomplish few tasks, then I want to wait for the completion and then move to next stage and so on. All that basically is allowed now within the richer business logic that we have.
So, like I said in the last session, Phil kind of dove in, it gave us an overview of some of the creating entities and adding attributes to those entities. So what you're saying is that everything you do there, you can pull in and take full advantage of in workflow.
Absolutely.
So the workflow then, the underlying infrastructure for that, I'm guessing, is Workflow Foundation, am I right?
Well, you're right on the mark. I mean,
I kind of knew that already.
That is the third bucket. So
right.
We basically, the third message is that we'll be able to leverage the power of Workflow Foundation, both at the developer experience level as well as at the runtime level. So think about a scenario that you're a company and you want to find the, for each new account, you want to find what is the distance between the account address and your headquarters. And then you want to say, hey, if the distance is too great, that means somebody will have to fly and there are certain people who are okay with flying, certain people do not want to fly. And you can do some very rich assignment logic
mm-hmm.
in which you can basically use Workflow Foundation, which will have a custom assembly that will be pinging a web service to get you the distance in real time. And that will let you decide whether you should assign this particular account to Nancy or you want to assign it to David, depending
right.
upon
right.
their travel preferences. So yes, that's the runtime part of it. And then when it comes to designer experience, given that Workflow Foundation has a very nice flowchart-based developer workflow declarative experience, we shall be able to leverage that to create workflows and run them inside CRM.
That's pretty cool. So it sounds to me like, CRM Titan will be the first application, certainly first line of business application, from Microsoft that takes advantage of Workflow Foundation, isn't that right?
Yes, that is true. I think the one of the other applications that's using the Workflow Foundation is SharePoint.
Right.
They largely use it for document lifecycle management, like sure. approvals and so on. But yes, the kind of, the kind of infrastructure that we have created for end users to leverage the capabilities of Workflow Foundation is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's cool. So giving Workflow Foundation something to do.
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay, great. So can we see it? Let's have a look, and,
yeah.
and maybe you can show me. Well, let's start with the end user experience.
The way we should look at it is, if you are a CRM user, typically you will come here when you log in. You have an activity grid, and you would click on Settings tab, and you would see Workflow here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about CRM Titan Workflow is that it is on the not only on the web UI. Workflow is just like any other entity. So if you know how to create an account,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to learn anything new. You would know how to create a new workflow. Because it's a first-class entity, that means you get a lot of capabilities of a CRM application infrastructure practically free and consistent. For example, if you were to define advanced find queries on Workflow, you can do that. If you were to define SRS reports on Workflow data, you could do that. And if you were to customize some of the features like your personal views and so on, you
mm-hmm.
could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's basically, I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'm going to open a Workflow that I've already created. And I'll show you what kind of things you can do inside Workflow. So as you can see on this form, basically there are two sections of it. There is a Workflow properties section, and there is a Workflow logic section. And let's talk about the properties first. So as you can see that I can define workflows on a certain entity, and these entities are practically three times more than what we supported in our last release. And now we support all kind of custom entities, including the organization owned as well as user owned. So there is a huge amount of functionality increment that you get just by the number of entities we support now. Second, you would see the scope of the workflow. Basically, that allows you to say whether you are writing a personal workflow or you're writing a workflow for the entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a CEO and you wanted to say, hey, there are certain business practices that I want everybody else to follow, you would create a workflow with an organization privilege.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just to show you what other kind of choices you have, let me quickly unpublish it so that I can put it in the edit mode. Now that it's in the edit mode, you can see that you can run the workflow for an entire organization on one end. On the other end, you could say, I just want to run it on the records that I own.
Right.
So that would be your basically version of personal workflow. And there are some intermediate scenarios where you could say, I want to run it for a specific business unit that I belong to,
mm-hmm.
or to a business unit pyramid that basically comes under my authority. So if you're a VP and there are three business units reporting to you, and you want to run it on them. So there's a lot of flexibility around the roles and security that you can define in terms of workflow scope.
All those roles and securities are already defined as part of the CRM installation. And so they're already in place.
Absolutely.
And so you're just taking full advantage of that.
Yes, we're leveraging the security role infrastructure that's already there for the organization.
Uh-huh.
Other thing is that you could define the workflow as a workflow that would run on real records. Or you could say, you know what, I'm creating a template and I don't want to centralize my processes, but I would like people to follow these on an individual basis. And I could then choose to publish it as a template. At that point, the workflow itself does not run,
mm-hmm.
but it can be copied by other users to create their personal workflows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very powerful construct in my mind. When it comes to running a workflow in the background, basically you have a lot of choices. You could say that I want to run this workflow on certain events that happen, and this is where we have expanded the event set in Titan, and we have also invested a lot in terms of unifying the eventing model between the plugins, which is like callouts, and workflows. So we support update and delete, which are the additional events that
mm-hmm.
we did not support in last release, and there was a huge demand because there are a lot of business processes that depend on when
sure.
things happen or don't happen, which
mm-hmm.
are all tied to basically update. And one of the things, cool thing about updates is that you can actually choose a very specific attribute on which you want to listen for updates.
Wow.
And that allows you to be more focused in your workflows. On the other hand, it saves performance.
Yeah, of course.
So that's pretty cool. Other options that you have, if you have exception-based workflows, so like, for example, you get a return on certain merchandise. Now,
mm-hmm.
you cannot basically automate that because returns are totally ad hoc. And in that sense, you might want to run certain workflows only on demand. That
mm-hmm.
means you should be able to go to a grid and say, okay, on this particular record, I want to do something.
Right.
And that's where the on-demand application comes into play. Last but not the least, there is the notion of writing modular workflows that could then be called inside other workflows.
Right.
So if you have certain pre-composed business logic elements that you want your organization to leverage, you could publish a workflow as a child workflow so that other workflows would be able to call into it mm-hmm. and leverage its business logic. So that's basically about workflow properties. We have also improved our user experience in terms of making sure once you are done with those, you can hide those, and you have the entire surface available to you in terms of writing business logic. Here, the core things to basically understand is that we support all the functionality that we supported in V3 in terms of the primitives that you can use in constructing business logic.
Now, V3 had a proprietary workflow that was specific to Dynamic CRM. Did not take advantage of Workflow Foundation, right?
That is correct.
So ISVs that have workflows in V3, though, those will all get migrated.
Yes.
And so you'll have all those capabilities. In addition to that, you'll have some
yes.
pretty interesting stuff that comes
yes.
from
Yes. So one of the bars that we had kept for ourselves, which is to say that we will have complete functionality equivalence with V3, mm-hmm. and we'll add more.
Mm-hmm.
That will ensure that we'll have a smooth upgrade experience, because
right.
once you can do everything that you could do in V3, and even better, then upgrade becomes easy.
Right.
And that's definitely one of the goals that we have had in front of us right from the day one.
Great.
So basically, just to give you a quick preview, and I'm going to use an example of a sales process an organization might want to implement. And the way you implement those sales processes is that you first insert certain steps of type stage. So for example, in this workflow, I've inserted three steps called stages, which is route, sell, and close. And then within the routing logic, I could basically insert steps like an if condition, which will say, if a revenue for an opportunity is estimated to be greater than $5 million, then I want these opportunities to go to Barry. But if they are less than $5 million, then let them go to Philip. So that way I can have as many branches I want in terms uh-huh. of routing my opportunities.
So the stage then is sort of a state, and then within that you have a process model that goes through your events and
yeah.
how is that?
Oh, maybe the better way to characterize would be that if you have a very long-running business process
uh-huh.
and you want to gate it so that after the gate, like the first gate is over, you want to decide whether to go to the next one or not, it's like a go-no-go decision,
uh-huh.
then you can use the notion of stages.
I
think
see.
That's where okay. it's sort of, that's the best metaphor I can think
okay.
of.
Great.
And basically inside each stage, you can pretty much model any kind of selection logic, which
mm-hmm.
would be, you could say if, else, and as many branches as you want to. And as a part of then component, if then, you can again have recursion, so you can have if inside if and
mm-hmm.
any other workflow primitive. And we also support wait, so that means you could say wait until this lead rating is hot and then send me an email.
Mm-hmm.
Or basically you could say if it never becomes hot, time out after 3 days and send me an email and
mm-hmm.
things like that. So
mm-hmm.
basically you can track when something happens and get notified. You can also track when something doesn't happen and get notified. And
mm-hmm.
both of the scenarios are very important in workflow construction.
Great.
So yeah, so basically you have a nice looking user interface, you have the power of all these steps, and one of the core things here is that if you were to design and sort of compile some workflow foundation activities, then you could leverage those in this designer. So think about a scenario that I was talking about earlier where this whole distance calculation has to happen when the new account gets added based
mm-hmm.
on their zip code and your organization's zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to return that distance as a parameter which you can use in subsequent workflow steps, which
mm-hmm.
could say, if the distance greater than 500 miles, then give it to David, else give it to Nancy or something like that.
Right.
Then that particular activity can be written by a developer using the power of Workflow Foundation. And once it is registered in CRM, end users can actually use it in their workflow construction.
So right now we're looking at the workflow in CRM, in the web interface.
That's correct.
But I could actually, if I wanted to, look at this in Visual Studio, have the full power of Workflow Foundation, and also be creating new activities
yes.
that could then snap in. And those new activities can be used in the web interface as well, is that right?
That's right. So basically there are two things you can do as far as the Visual Studio-based experience is concerned for Workflow Foundation. One is that you can write code activities that encapsulate business logic
uh-huh.
and plug them into CRM so that they become available as a step inside Workflow CRM Designer.
Uh-huh.
That's one way to go about it. Another way is to write declarative workflows which do not require code, but they are full-fledged workflows, not just some step, and which are totally constructed in Workflow Foundation Visual Studio-based designer, and those can be registered with CRM and they would run as a first-class workflow. So that is the idea. So I think that basically covers most of the developer scenarios that we anticipate for Titan.
So a declarative workflow takes full advantage of the existing activities that the CRM team has provided.
Yes.
And you can use Visual Studio to develop those workflows, and those were on and can be developed and modified in the UI, in the web UI?
So they can be executed and tracked in web UI,
right.
But the basically the value proposition of writing declarative workflows uh-huh. in Visual Studio Designer is that the rules framework that Workflow Foundation provides mm-hmm. is a lot more bigger and flexible than our UI supports. So if you wanted to write some very complex logic in terms of rules, an example would be that if you are a CEO and you're projecting your sales pipeline based on the opportunity estimated close date. So that's what you basically go by when it comes to deciding whether the revenue should be counted in Q1 versus Q2 in terms of projections. And you wanted to basically say that, hey, if you move this date within the quarter, that I don't care. But if you ever move it outside the quarter, then I want to get an email. So think about a situation where you're talking about an update on estimated close date, mm-hmm. which will have a pre-value, which is mm-hmm. the date before the update and date after the update.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to compare these two dates and decide whether the change has moved the opportunity outside the quarter or not, it's a non-trivial piece of business logic. Now, our designer, out of box, doesn't let you say that. But if you were to use Workflow Foundation declarative mode, you'd be able to do that within two lines.
Sure, sure.
So that is the kind of richness that you can get by using a Visual Studio-based declarative experience.
It sounds like you've got the power of using whatever platform or designer you want to use, you can
yes.
address pretty much anything.
Yeah, I think the challenge here is we want to keep simple things simple, and then we want to leverage the complex scenarios using the power and richness of Workflow Foundation in order to address the needs of every kind of persona. And we have basically targeted three distinct personas. We have the notion of business users, which do not write code, less technical, but a great amount of process and business expertise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are talking about partners and customizers who understand CRM very well. They are able to customize it. They are not necessarily writing code. And to that degree, they will be able to leverage a lot of custom entities and relationships. And then there is a third bucket, which is developers, who are writing very complex code around business horizontals or business verticals using Workflow Foundation and some other technologies for that matter. And then they are the ones who can basically, who can sell it to partners or customers, and then they can plug it in Workflow Designer and consume it.
So I mean, that's fantastic. It's very cool stuff. We have been having the Channel 9 audience listening in. If you had to leave a message for the Channel 9 audience, what would you tell them? How would they get started with this? What would be the first thing that you'd want them to go and have a look at?
Yeah, I think what I would want them to do is that I would want them to log into the CRM UI and just play with the workflow. Create a simple one saying that if the lead rating becomes hot on lead update, send me an email. And when you do that, like just to give you some example,
sure.
you could actually say, for example, when an opportunity gets created, create a phone call. And let me show you some real life examples so that you can feel the power that's there in the workflow. So let's say I'm gonna click on this properties button.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can see is that I'm creating a phone call as a part of an opportunity create process.
Mm-hmm.
I can dynamically set the number, phone number that I need to call to the account's telephone number.
Mm-hmm.
And at the runtime, it will retrieve the right phone number. I mm-hmm. can dynamically set what is it regarding. I can dynamically set its subject and description.
Mm-hmm.
So all this can be done by leveraging the public form infrastructure that we have. So if you're a user who knows how to create a phone call in CRM, you can create this workflow. And this workflow would be rich enough to basically create the tasks that need to be completed in a very automated, standard manner,
mm-hmm.
thus creating a very standard business experience for your customers and suppliers. So I think that is the takeaway message I want to give for people. They're saying the workflow should be considered as a silent employee. So just think about if you had multiples of you. I don't know if many of you remember the movie Multiplicity. And if you remove the copy loss from that, then that's what workflow is.
Sure.
It allows you to do work on your behalf under your security credentials.
Right.
As per the dynamic expressions that you want to set. So it's not like something hard-coded you want to run, while leveraging the power that comes with Workflow Foundation. And when we go live, that becomes even more important when it comes to running a very reliable and performant web service
Great.
Sort of environment.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for spending a few minutes with me today, Praveen. Thanks very much.
Thank you.